the children.
So what happened to it?
I'm looking at it.
Please turn with me for a short time as we come and just prepare our hearts to come into the presence of the King of Kings and to worship Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Please turn in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Do you want a Bible?
No, you don't want to follow it?
Just follow with Kira. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 16. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, reading from verse 1 to verse 16. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king comes unto you, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments or their clothes in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou, don't you hear what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And he left them, verse 17, and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. So we can see the scene. Can you visualize the scene as Jesus is coming and sitting upon that donkey? A donkey that had never ever been ridden before. The donkey. The Lord had great peace in the midst of this wonderful scene of adulation and exaltation. The donkey understood who was sitting upon him. The children and the people understood who he was, but the religious had no idea who this one was. Can we see the scene? There, the donkey that no one had ever ridden on before. I've ridden on, Sarah has ridden on horses that I haven't been tamed.
Sarah's here right now.
What? Sarah? So has Kira with Mercy, yes. And it's not an easy thing to do. The horse doesn't like you riding on them, and they'll do anything to buck you off. I remember I was working on a station, an outback station in my younger days, and it got on this horse, and it was very, very, very slow going out to the back paddocks. But as soon as I turned it around, it took off and it went as fast as it possibly could, and it took me everything I could possibly do to stay on. It is a very difficult thing to stay on the horse. But that donkey understood who it understood its creator was sitting upon him, and that donkey had peace. And there, that donkey who had never been ridden on before, the people took off their not all their clothes, but their cloaks and whatnot, and threw them in the way, cut down branches, and were waving them before and behind, and a tremendous scene coming into Jerusalem and coming right into the gates of Jerusalem and right through the streets and right up to the very temple. And all the city was moved. Who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple. And what did he see in the temple? Just religiosity, just dead religion, just avarice and covetousness, and the sin of these religious people. And what did he do? He took we read in another portion of scripture, another gospel, he sat down, he made a whip, and he drove them out, and he overturned the tables and the money changers. And then he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." That was the reference to Isaiah 56. Please turn with me to Isaiah 56. And verse 6, "Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Even then, them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." The Lord was preparing the way, even in Isaiah, for the Gentiles to come in. God's heart from eternity was not just one people, but the whole earth. The whole earth to be his people. And to come into the house of God and to know that the Lord was there, and a house of prayer for all people. But the thought is there in the beginning of verse 7, another thought that comes to us as we're reading Matthew's gospel: "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer." Holiness and joyfulness are very compatible. Please do not think that holiness means I must go around with a very long face all day and not be happy. That is not God's holiness. Holiness and joyfulness go together. They are both from the Spirit of God. But of course, it's what we rejoice in, isn't it? Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love or charity rejoices not in iniquity. We don't have fun. We don't are not amused. We are not entertained by sin and rebellion in this world. But our hearts are full of joy to see God and to see His beauty and to see Him working and to see the Lord Jesus Christ glorified in the midst of His people. That brings great joy to our hearts and great joy to God's heart. But it didn't bring joy to those religious people back there in Jerusalem. Turn back, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. It is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." But who came? Who came to him? And who was blessed by him in the house of God? And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. That's what the house of God is to be, a place of blessing, a place of joy, a place of healing, not a place of dead religion and formality. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was bringing to them the reality of what heaven is like. Heaven is compassionate. Heaven is loving. Heaven is joyful. Doesn't it say about one sinner that repents, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents? And so the king was there, but they were blind. Only the children and all the multitudes of the people, the unlearned, they could see. And they are crying out, "Blessed Hosanna to the Son of David." What is the significance of that? What is it? Why is that? What is the significance of the Son of David? Well, the significance of it is that He is the Christ. He is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. He is the one that promised. There's promise to David of the fruit of thy loins will I set upon thy king, my kingdom, and he shall reign forever. That is the significance of it. And those Pharisees, they understood. They understood what the children were crying out. And they said to him, "Don't you hear? Don't you know what they're saying? What's wrong with you? Stop them." That's the thought behind it. They are angry. They're not happy that God has manifested His Son in the midst. They are angry and they want to stop it. And they said to him, "Don't you know? Hearest thou what these say?" Verse 16, "And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." Psalm 8. Now that's what he's saying to them. Haven't you read? You read the Psalms, you know the Psalms. Well, this is what David in the Psalms was saying. Psalm 8. The Psalms are in the middle of the Bible. Don't worry about the children. We'll just concentrate on the Bible. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You see, the Lord Jesus only referred to the first part of that verse. Have you never read? Have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength, or perfected praise. It's a little translational thing, that doesn't matter. Because when we are a praising people, we are a strong people. So the two thoughts are knit together. But the second part of the verse is, because of thine enemies. Alana, Psalm 8, verse 2. Good girl. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies. Who were the enemies? Who were the enemies? Why, those very ones. Those very ones in Jerusalem with their robes on and with their long faces and with their religious self-righteousness, they were the enemies. They were the enemies of God. How sad. How sad. When they should have been leading the people in praise, leading the people in worship, preparing the people for the coming King, in touch with heaven in order to receive from heaven the coming King. But they had lost it, and therefore they became enemies of God. But the Lord wasn't put off by them. And he says, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings? A suckling, a little baby on the breast. So young, just a few weeks, few months old. They understand. The colt, the ass, the donkey understood. These ignorant people understood. And today also, by the grace and the miracle of God, we understand. We understand who this King is and the very purpose that we've been saved and brought into the house of God. A place of blessing, a place of healing, a place of joy, a place of worship, a place where He is given the preeminence, where we love Him, where we're at rest in Him, where we delight to be here. Not something that we have to do. Not something that we think God will be very, very impressed by our attendance. No. But because we delight in the King. And so David goes on to say, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. God made man in his own image, and to have dominion over the whole earth. God says, I give it to you all. I give it to you. Rule over it. I'm putting all the animals, the birds, the fish under your dominion. Rule it under me, for me. You have full liberty. What a wonderful God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So there was the Lord Jesus Christ ruling over his creation. He is the last Adam. There's so much there. So much there. And he's sitting upon his donkey, the wild donkey that no man could ever sit upon, being untrained. And so he is fulfilling what the first Adam could not fulfill. And he is Lord over his own creation. Let us worship him today. Let us come and pour out our heart and love him for all his goodness.